door, please? Thank you. It has been a week since we've been learning these inyonim, so I just want to refresh our memories of where we're holding, so we can continue with Perek Rishon of Chelek Aleph. The Sefer is divided into four chalokim. Hopefully we'll start Chelek Aleph and Perek Rishon. What we learned in the Hakdamah are a number of points. Number one, the Ramchal has taught us that many people, most people, I'm adding, I believe most people, but he says many people, in every discipline know an unbelievable amount of information. But the problem is that all that information, if it's not organized and put in its proper place with its proper relationships, it loses its potency, and a person has the information and will abuse it, won't be able to properly apply it. We know so much Torah. Everybody who's got their own discipline of study, of work, knows a lot of information. It's those that have the clarity of the structure, they're the ones who are the real chacham, and they're the ones who understand it properly. Every single svara, every single idea, every single notion has its place, and it's but when you don't understand its proper place, then you're going to use it in the wrong context, and it's going to be messes up. And that's what he says. That's what I'm doing here in this book. I am going to organize Jewish thought in a succinct, accurate way, so that you know where everything fits into Avodas Hashem. That's his job in this book. It's a very simple book. Sometimes there's one line, sometimes there's a few words, but everything about Yiddishkeit is found in this book. You just have to know where to put it in the right place. And that's what his job is. All of his writings throughout his lifetime, and all the writings of all the Jewish thinkers, everywhere in Jewish thought, I'm not talking about halacha, I'm talking about understanding the religion, is found in here. You just have to know where and how, and then you're able to conceptualize. That's point number one, he says. Point number two, he teaches us that you should learn klalim and not pratim. Learn principles, not details. Once you know the principles, you know the details. Point number three, he tells us, is that all of Jewish religion is divided into two parts. Everything you wanted to know about Yiddishkeit and about understanding the way of life that we live is called emuna and avoda. That is his point. What is emuna? Not the way we use it in our context of talking. He has his own language. We say, I believe this, I believe that, I know this, I know that. I don't believe in God, I don't believe in Olam Haba, I don't believe in Gulgulim. That's not how he's using emuna. It's not whether you believe or don't believe. Emuna is after you have yediyah, after a person knows the facts, he understands things. Anything that is potential, that you could prove from any source, whether any source, that's not in the parsha of emuna. That's not called emuna. That's called yediyah. After you know all the facts that are true, whether you accepted them, whether you know the proof, you don't know the proof, but once I know the facts, then you have to believe and rely and commit yourself that this is the way of life that you want to adopt. A person can know the truth, can know that there's a Gehenna, can know that there's an Olam Haba, can know that this is the mitzvah and this is the way you should do it, and he still schleps through Avodas Hashem. He pulls himself, right? He doesn't do it with enthusiasm. He does, no motivation. He just does it because it's true. Emuna is when I know that I'm relying on it. I depend upon it. My life is put it on. Put mine on silent with everybody else's.
You learned how to do it.
I learned how to do it. Thank you. I think that's right. And so that emuna is when you are committed and you feel your life is going to be happier. You're going to be filled with simcha. And that simcha, again, we'll talk about that another time, what simcha is. But simcha doesn't necessarily mean you're not going to have tzaras. Doesn't mean things are not going to be difficult in life. There's going to be plenty of difficulties that a person is going to need to endure, but at least you know you're going somewhere. You have confidence that this is taking you to a place that is good for you. I'm not always happy along the way, but I'm going somewhere, and that osher, that yediyah, that knowledge that I'm going in a direction that is good for me, and I'm relying on it. I have confidence that this is what I want to do. This is right. That's emunah. And avoda is our connection, our part that we're going to use this world that we are living in with all of its physicality and all of the mitzvos, how to connect to that vision of emunah. Hashem's plan, Hashem's ratzon, Hashem's design, Hashem's will, Hashem's purpose for the world. That's the emunah that we want to attach to. Our avoda is, how am I going to bring my life to connect to that vision? That's our avoda. That is what Yiddishkeit is about. Knowing the process, knowing where you're going, and B, bringing your life to align with that will. That's the emuna, the avoda, right? So avoda, for example, takes simple things that we do that he's going to talk about in the Sefer. Kriya Shema. You know what you have the idea of the mitzvah. You may have the emuna of knowing what we're going to hopefully learn today about the unbelievable, most deepest and most important, most fundamental idea of Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, the Shem Havaya that takes Hashem's will all the way from the beginning of the world to the end, and the avoda that we do is, what do we do when I say Shema? What am I connecting to? So when you say Shema afterwards, after you know the Amuna, and you want to say, I'm going to mechaber, I'm going to connect my Shema together with that Amuna, then your Shema is very, very different. When we go to the mitzvah of Tefillah, when we go to Daven Shmona Esrei, and the first bracha of Shema, and we understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan, V'zocher chaz de'ovos, v'evi goel, livnei v'neihem, l'man shemo bi'ahava, and now we're saying, you know what, that idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, carrying over from the avos to the children, is mevi ge'ula, and it's all going to a certain direction, and here I am, doing something that brings my lips, and my standing together with the tzibor, and my standing in front of Hashem properly, connecting that, which is very, at the end of the day, we're using our physicality, your bones, your blood, your brain, your mouth, your car that you drove you here, your talis bag that your wife gave you with the name on, all of that is now connecting to the Amunah. That's your avoda. And the chenal of Shabbos. Shabbos, we can all keep Shabbos. Everybody keeps Shabbos. But Yiddishkeit is not about the kiyum ha-mitzvos, teaches the Ramchal. That's not what the center is. The center is the emuna and the avoda. When you understand what Shabbos is and how it is the point of, in this world, that's zecher of the seventh millennia of the world that talks about where the world is going to. And now we have a zecher, a reminder, a connection to that Yemos HaMoshiach and Yemos Olam Haba. So now our Shabbos is going to be a different Shabbos. That's our Chedek Avoda that's connecting to the Amuna. Those are just examples of Avoda and the Amuna. And he says, this is what Yiddishkeit is about. And he opens up his Akadama and he says, now I'm going to write my book. I divide it into the four sections. And we saw the index. You can all take a look at the index on your own, what is going to be in this book. And now, right, the Nevi'im, when they came to, it's true he wrote it a couple hundred years ago, but this is something that was always in Klal Yisrael, these ideas. It's not something new. He put it down and he organized it. He wrote it for us in a way that we can even understand, even though the Hebrew is not our modern Hebrew, or it's not so easy, but it's a Hebrew that we can understand. But the Nevi'im really did the same thing. In Klal Yisrael, he didn't usually kept mitzvahs, Shabbos, the Moshe. There was one Mekoshesh Eitzim who was Mechal Shabbos, and then maybe for a good reason. One Mekoshesh, people kept Shabbos. In Navi, you're going to find someone who's Mechal Shabbos. There's a reference in Yechezkel for Chil Shabbos, but the Mefarshim say, and it's almost alluded to in the Pesukim, it's talking about the Chil Shabbos that took place in the Midbar. There was, what did the Nevi'im come and do? They come and tell Klai, so you're not putting your tefillin on correctly, you're not keeping Shabbos, you're wearing kalayim. That's not what the Nevi'im come and do. The Nevi'im are coming to Klal Yisrael and saying, Rabbosai, where's your Ava? Where's your Yira? Where's your Amuna? Where's your Avoda? I want to see your heart. I want to see your connection. I want to see your relationship. Hine shmoa mizevach tov, lakshiv mechelev edim. I'm just quoting I'm not interested in your karbanis. I want a relationship. And this Yisod is what the Nevi'im, any Navi came to Klal Yisrael and said, Bnei Yisrael, he says, I'm here coming to get you to have a relationship. And throughout history, this was a very touchy point. Klal Yisrael very often got into the mode of keeping the behaviorism, doing the action, and they lost that connection. So much so, till it came to the point after the end of the Churban Bayis Sheni, that's what people started thinking Yiddishkeit was. And that was the seeds that Yashka Yemach Shemoy had in order to be able to infect and infiltrate into the Bnei Yisrael, where Paul and others have said, what? God is not interested in your actions. God wants your heart. And it went from, and that's how Christianity started, and it went on to Spinoza and to Kant. And they all came with this philosophy of Mendelssohn in his own way, but it was all of Mendelssohn said Judaism is conformity of action and freedom of doctrine. You just have to do a certain behavior, and how you do it, why you do what you do, everybody can decide. If you're a romantic, if you're a Kabbalist, if you're halachist, everybody can come from their own direction. Just do the same thing. Treif. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is not about the behavior. This is what the Ramchal is telling us. So I'm just trying to tell us that these things that we're learning, this Mahalach, has always been there from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu till today. And he is putting it here in front of us. Let us start the first parak. You have here in this, thank you very much, Dr. Tobias, you printed this out for us. So it's wonderful we have these svarim here. You could take a look at the notes on the side and make any comments. I didn't take a look at them, but this is, I think, from Derech Chaim, is from Reb Chaim Friedlander. There are a number, based upon his ways of learning, there are a number of approaches towards learning Ramchal. Different schools of thought in Ramchal. Reb Chaim Friedlander is the most conventional, most well accepted in the yeshivish world. But there are other Sephardic approaches, there are other different approaches. What you see down here may not be consistent with everything that I say or with other approaches. But it's certainly an appropriate sefer to learn from. For many years, I would be teaching, and also when I tell people to learn the Derech Hashem, I would tell them to skip the first parak. And that's because I said, you know what? It's true. It's MS. And it's very hard to understand. And when you get to the second parak, which is about Tachlis Sabria, there's something that it's Geshmak, people, what's the purpose of the world? It gets you right away involved into the essence of Yiddishkeit, and goes on from there. And from that point onwards, the Sefer is just fascinating. And the first one, you can lose touch and things you don't understand, and people lose connection. And it took me years to understand the importance of why he put this in right in the beginning. I said, what? I tell people to start, and I used to start from here. Parak Beis. That's the place to start. So today we're going to learn Perek Aleph. Probably it will take two lessons to complete Perek Aleph today, and Be'ezra Hashem Bli Neder next week, but we will see the significance and importance of this Perek. Today, I would just like to read with you the facts of what he says, so we understand the structure, like he's been telling us. Just get the picture. We're not going to learn the whole Sefer, we're going to learn the first Perek, just the facts. And then the whys and the understanding, perhaps at another time, we'll expound upon it. The first parak is Babori Yisbarach Shemo. Understanding what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. In this parak is based upon his understanding of Kabbalah, but it is almost taken word for word, concept by concept, from the Rambam, who was a rationalist, who the Chiddush says had no connection to Kabbalah. But all the Yesodos here are found in the Rambam, in Yad HaChazakah, and in Chelek Aleph of Mor HaNevuchim, which is about 100 chapters. So the Mor HaNevuchim, the Rambam, spent an unbelievable amount of energy establishing the principles that he's going to put down here in a few words. And over 100 chapters proving and explaining and defining, and the Rambam felt that it is Yesod HaYesodos, and if you don't understand this, you are not serving the same God, you're not serving the proper Yiddishkeit. If you don't understand this parak, if you don't believe and accept these Yesodos, and they're all true Yesodos, but what we need to, when we see these things, what we need to try to think about is, why is it so central to understanding Yiddishkeit? What is wrong with starting with Perek Beis, with Tachlis Habriya, understanding what mitzvahs is, understanding if we need Bechira or we don't need Bechira, why we need Nevroim, Nevuah, all the kinds of things we're going to learn about. What's wrong with starting there if you don't have a proper understanding of Perek Aleph? I'd like you to think about that as we go along. There are many answers. I'm going to try to offer at least today one simple answer. That's Hakdama number one. Hakdama number two is that the things that he says here are really hard to understand. But the interesting thing is that everything he says about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about what not. It's Bishlila. What not to think. Don't think this. Don't think this. Don't think this. We don't really understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a fact. And we have... what we have is the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us as humans in this universe. And that revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is extremely limited. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu is something that's beyond our capacity to understand. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can understand. Only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even angels don't understand what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. But what we are expected to know is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not. And if we don't understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not, then you're making a mistake in Yiddishkeit, and your whole avoda, your whole emunah, your whole avoda, and your whole Yiddishkeit is not the correct Yiddishkeit. And the Rambam holds you're a koifer beikir and you're a min, and he uses the word on these subjects. And the Rambam in Yad HaChazaka, you take a look at the first parak, and he says you don't believe these things. There are six items here that we're going to learn today, hopefully. Six items. If you don't believe these six items, says the Rambam, you are a koifer be'ikr. When the Rambam says koifer be'ikr, the Rambam has 13 ikar. Okay? But this is the ikr should be ikar. This is the fundamentals that all fundamentals come out from. That means you don't have Yiddishkeit. Why? It's a big question. That we're going to address. Aleph. Kol ish mi Yisrael tzorach shiyamin v'yeda. Hopefully next week we'll explain what the Yamin Vieda is, believe and to know. Right? I just want to read the facts and then we'll be medayik and explain another time. Sheyesham Matsui Rishon, that there is Sheyesh Sham. And people have, I don't know what they say here on the bottom, many people have this. What does it mean, Sham? There is over there. Some people mean shame. I don't know if you'll take a look and see on here. Velo Sheyesh Sham. It's not shame. Sham is the word there is over there. I think what the Rambam, the Ramchal and the Rambam are trying to say when they use the word sham is that whenever you're dealing with something that we have no frame of reference down here to understand, they use the word sham. So they say there is something that is beyond our comprehension, and that's why he uses the word Sham, Motzi Rishon, something, a being that exists that precedes everything that other existences, anything. Kadmon means that it has no beginning, v'nitzchi, and it is eternal. And it is something that has given rise to, has created, has created, umamti, and sustains and continues to maintain everything that exists in the world. And he's going to go ahead and explain these in greater detail in this first parak. Otsar Shiera, you also need to know. No one can really understand what Hashem is other than Hashem himself. That's what it means. Museges lezulaso klal, other than any. Verak zen no double. The only thing we know is shehu motzui shalom b'chol minu shleimus v'lo nimtza v'chisaron klal. We know it b'shlila. We know that Hashem doesn't have any chisaron. He's not lacking anything. There's no deficiency in God. That's not knowing what God is. You just know that he's not lacking. I'm going to skip the next two paragraphs for this week, because this is just how do we know the facts that he's saying. Rambam, because I want to go with you, I want to learn with you the 6 points. All right, we've got number one is the existence of God, that he exists and he created everything and he continues to maintain and sustain everything that's created. That's A. B is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is complete in every way and there is nothing lacking. Okay, and then in these two paragraphs, which we're skipping, he talks about the proofs. How do we know that this is true? Let me just, before we see number three, I want to explain to you a little bit why this is why this is crucial. These areas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and that he's not lacking anything. Maybe we'll see three first. Three. Otsar Sheyeda. Shamotzi Azeh Yisbarach Shemo Hini Mitziuso Mitzius Muchrach Sheyeshar Hiadra Klal. You need to also know that this being which we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a lot of people recognize this Mitzius around the world. There are many of religious people who we serve, so to speak, the same God. Okay, one can call it Allah, and one can call it God, and one can call it all the other names that they're going to call. If you're talking about this being that has these descriptions, we serve the same God. We serve the same being. And he says, this being must exist. Hini mitziuso muchroch. And it's impossible for our HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to exist. Okay. Number four, Otsar Shiyeda, Shimitsius Yisbarach Shemo, Enotoli Bezulaso Klal. It is not dependent at all on anything else. Elami Atzmohu Mukhrach HaMitzius. By himself, he is Mukhrach HaMitzius. Everything that we're familiar with in this world, and many of you probably have some science backgrounds, whether it's in chemistry, biology, physics, you recognize anything, any natural science, you realize that everything in this world is connected. Every atom, every power is somehow connected and dependent upon some other force or some other being. There's no such thing as something that stands on its own. That's how the world that we live in. Every ecosystem has got all different elements, and that's how the world works, with many complex different things, all totally on the other, and it works together as an organism, as a whole. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely independent and is not dependent upon anything. The truth is, if you fully understand Gimel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must exist, that already carries within it number Dalet, that it's independent and it can't depend upon anything else. So I think at this stage, the Rambam is, Rambam and the Ramchal, when I say Ramchal, and Rambam, at these points are mamash identical. He's being mefarit. He's detailing the points that he said in Oz Gimel. And now he's coming to this point that's Anatoli Bezulah Suklau. Elami Atzmahu Murchach HaMetzius. Number five, Bechein Tzarech Sheyeda. Shemitziusa Yisbarach Shemo Mitzius Poshut. It is simple. Bli Harkava V'Ribui Klal. Without any type of complexity, and with any additional points. V'chol Hashlemius Kulam Nimtzo Bo B'Derech Poshut. Everything in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simple. Perish. Ki Hinei B'Nefesh Yimotzu Kofus Rabim Shonim. And he wants to illustrate this to us so that we can understand. He says, take a look at the human mind. When he says B'Nefesh, I think he means the human mind. We have many different faculties, many different powers in our mind. Every power, every faculty in our brain has its own powers and own gedorim. Derech mashal, hazikaron koach echad, memory, baharatzon, desire, koach acher, hadimyon, imagination, koach acher. These are different powers of the human mind. Ve'ein echad me'ele nichnas begeder chaver klal. The passion, the memory, and the imagination are independent. They don't enter the domain of the other. Kihine geder azikaron geder echad, begeder aratzon geder acher. Memory is one geder. Desire is another geder. Ve'ein aratzon nichnas begeder azikaron. Desire doesn't enter the domain of memory. V'lo azikaron begeder aratzon. And not memory into the area of will, of passion, of desire. V'chein kulam. Acha odon yisbar. And nonetheless, we have that all in our own brain. And it's made up of different parts. So we could say that we're complex. We have many different parts of our brain, and that makes us who we are. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have different forces, memory, desire, imagination. In us, they are different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has those elements, but to him, they're not separate. They're all one. Ki harei hu rotzeh. V'hu chacham, v'hu yachal, v'hu shalem, v'chol shlemos. He has everything. The existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. Shekolo ba'amitaso u'gedero, perish ba'amitas inyano. Ki ein shayach geder bo yisbarach ela alzad heter lashon. Kom ha'shehu shlemos. V'nimse sheyesh bo kol ha'shlemos lo kedover nosif ha'mahusuf ha'amitas inyano. He doesn't have perfection and completion as an additional aspect on his existence. El mitzad amitas inyano ve'atzma. Who he is be'atzim shekolos ba'amita kol ha'shlemos. It's one simple. Sheyesh le'inyano hu mibilti kol ha'shlemos mitzad atzma. It's impossible for God to have all of these shlemos. That it shouldn't have all the shlemias and it push it away. Now, I just read it without just saying what he says, and the Ramchal right away catches and he says, "V'hinei be'emes, I must admit to you, haderech hazeh rochok me'od mihasagoseinu b'tzireinu. It's very difficult for us to understand what I just said. I myself just said things that." It's hard that I don't understand and nobody understands. I'm just telling you what the terms the getter is. The kimat she'inlonu derech levaro. We have practically almost no way to explain it. Umilos lefarsha. We don't even have words to describe it. Ki ein siyureinu v'dimineinu tofes ele inyonim mugbolim b'gvul ateva hanivra mimeno yisbarach shemo. And this, I think, is a key point of his whole perek. And it's kind of what got me to understand why he included this. He says, we can only understand things in the domain, in the concepts of the natural world that we live in, that was created by God. We feel things, we recognize things, and then we try to use our minds to comprehend things from the context, from the world that we're familiar with. In the world that we live in, everything is divided into its own different element, and therefore, when we try to talk about a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we will naturally start describing and understanding a Kadosh Baruch Hu in breaking up into different parts. But that's wrong. Ulam kvar kedamnu shamitas mitziusa yisbarach shemo eina museges. We don't understand what God is. You cannot draw any comparison from anything that you see in this world to try to understand what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is. There's no way for us to draw a comparison. And here's where the epiphany was, where I finally chapped what is the Ramchal trying to tell us here? the mashal. A kid, a kindergarten kid, you start saying, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is everywhere. You start telling him, we daven, say, make a bracha, baruch atah Hashem. You have to thank Hashem. You start describing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to a child. What does a child understand? A child, he grows up, he only can absorb from what he sees around him. And from what he sees around him, he tries to make sense of the rest of the world and tries to understand things. So when you tell him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees everything, he loves you, he takes care of us. So he's thinking, a Zayda, a loving Zayda, an older man, he's, whatever picture a kid has in mind, but it's got to be something that he could relate to, that he puts a figure of a power, of a lover, of a protector, of whatever you tell the kid, he's got something in his frame of reference that he understands. And he says, okay, that's what you must be talking about when you talk about Hashem, what I already know. And he puts that in context. So you're taking things from this world and now creating it into understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the problem is, says the Ramchal, is that we don't grow up. All of us, at some stage, that he's trying to push us to grow up. And that's what this parak is about. He says, you cannot start understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of things that are down here in this world. Because that's what we do. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Rahman. He's an Emes. He's a Nokim. And we all have associations. And we only can have associations from things that are down here in this world. That's what we do. That's who we are. How are we going to understand things that are beyond our capacity to understand? We have to live in this world. Says the Rambam, first of all, it's not true. It's not what Hashem is. Fine, so I thought, okay, for years I thought, that's what the Rambam is telling us, it's not true, and he wants to tell us the truth. But why does he bring it here? Why is it the Yesod HaYesodos? Why does the Rambam work for 100 prokim in Moyer Nevuchim to say that if you don't understand this, you don't know what Yiddishkeit is. You're not serving the right God. Why is it so crucial? That's what was bothering me for a long time. So fine, I don't have it right. It's a mistake. But it makes all my avodas Hashem wrong. And I think, in the simplest level, the pshat is, again, there are many levels of answers, but for our sake, right now, to understand this parak into why it's a hakdama for the Rambam, not the introduction to the book, but the opening to his understanding what emuna is, and Rambam is saying, if you don't understand this point, then you don't understand. You're not serving. The avoda that you do and the emuna that you have is not going in the right place. It's all backwards. Why? Because everything that we see in the world is something that was created, that has some kind of force. There's a sun that gives me warmth, and there's any power that you have, it is something that's bigger than me, stronger than me, and it's, if you start viewing God in terms of things that you see in this world, that means they're unbelievably powerful, right? Very powerful, and I'm going to recognize that you're stronger and you're mightier and you may know more, but at the end of the day, I'm not looking at it as the cause of everything. It's something that's down here in this world. You're going to, at the end of the day, be serving yourself. You're going to be worshiping yourself. You're going to be turning to this power, this God, for assistance to lead you in your endeavor. The Goyim, Elil, all these people who served Avodah Zarah, what were they doing, Zechakol? They had their interests in life. They wanted fertility. They wanted prosperity. They wanted refuah. Everybody wanted to have something. So you turn to the biggest power around, and you say, I need something. You know you can give it to me, and I'm going to bring you an offering. I'm going to, and it doesn't have to be like in the time of Mitzrayim to those kinds of gods. It can be today. I need to have commerce, so I'm going to study economics. I'm going to go to the professor who knows. I'm going to go to the doctor who can diagnose this. These are forces here in this world. These are the modern, contemporary types of elilim, that there are powers that are better than me, stronger than me, and they're going to help me lead my life. Says the Ramchal, he says, then you have all your avodas Hashem backwards. Because what you're doing in life is trying to take care of your own life. You're trying to lead your way, and you're going to use the powers to help you. He says, you need to understand that before anything here in this world was created, there was a matsui that is mukhrach hametzius, that must exist, and that he's pashut, and there can be no other, that he has a ratzon, and he has a will. And he, that being, has an interest for things to happen according to his way. And because he's mukhrach hametzius, everything here in this world is also mukhrach to go the way he's going to go. So I need to now change my frame of reference and say, I have to know that there's this being who has a will, and I have to now find out what his will is and align my life with Hashem's will. That's the key change, I think, why the Ramchal makes this as a hakdama. Without understanding that there is a mamtzi to the entire creation for a purpose, with a ratzon, then you're not going to be serving the right God, because you are now going to be comforted to know that just like his mukhrach hametzius, his ratzon is mukhrach to happen. So now I'm now aligning myself in a process that is ultimately going to end up in a good place. Hashem didn't need to create a bria. He decided to do it. He's continuing for it to exist because he wants it to happen. So now you are going to align yourself to his ratzon. That now means that will change my whole world. I'm not doing mitzvahs so that I can have rain and I could feed my family. I'm doing mitzvahs so that I can be part of the system to get a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will. And it's an entirely different perspective, an entirely different Avodas Hashem. All of the Avodas Zaras, all the Elilim that were and are today, even by the atheists, Elilim is not only an idol, it means a power, a force, it's something that's going to help me realize my interests. And that switch, before you start the Perakalf, B'tachlis HaBriya, if you don't understand this yisod of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is, that he was before the creation, everything that you see is coming from that, then you're not going to put it in the right context. There's no Tachlis HaBriya. If it could be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted a certain thing. How do you know that the bris that he made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov is not going to ever be undone? Maybe it's a very, Hashem is very powerful. He could do Kriyas Yamsuf. He could do all these wonderful miracles. But might stop at a certain point. How do you know it's not going to stop? A lot of things in this world go on for 100 years, 500 years, and they end. How do you know it's not going to end? If you start Perek Aleph and you know that there was something that is mukhrach, a being that is mukhrach to be, and that hechrach, he decided that he wants to create a world, and he wanted to, and he's mamtzi it the whole time, meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cannot not exist, and his will vada happen, then you know that everything that's part of that plan is for sure. Our chatoyim might act as an obstacle to slow the process for Hashem's will to be revealed. It's true. That's our doing. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will take place. It will eventually be realized. And so now you could come to the next parsha. That's what I think, that's what he keeps on saying here. He's saying, the biggest mistake is when you see God in terms of the reality that lives around us. You have to realize that he's way, way above anything that you could understand. And he was a kadmon. He's a matsui rishon. He's before any bria. And he created everything. Avol, yeah, any questions or comments on it? It's meant to be interactive. It takes a while for you to warm up, I see. Questions are welcome. Avol. This actually refers to how do we know it. I'm going to skip this a little bit. Blinetter, next week we'll come back to reading these things. But what is it that you need to have? He goes back on it. He repeats his points. It's impossible that there doesn't exist a being that is entirely void of anything physical. Anything that HaKadosh Baruch created in this universe He has nothing like that. The chukoso v'gvulav, mikol heder v'chisaron, he's not missing anything. Mikol ribui v'arkava, there's no complexity and no additional points. Mikol yachas v'erech, from any association and relationship. Mikol mikrei habruim, from anything of the items that are created, that God himself created, he is not at all in any way associated. Anything that God created is complex, is interrelated, can have chesronos, has borders. And he's not like that. Shiyehu asiba ha'amitis l'chol ha'nimtzos u'l'chol mesiyah libam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the true cause for all beings that have been created, l'chol mesiyah libam, and anything that came from it. If it were not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the cause of all these things and keeping them going, they wouldn't exist. What you also need to know, you also need to recognize that this being of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe there's more than one being that is like this, that is muchrach and has no chisroinus. This is another way of translating the word yichud. Okay? He's talking about one versus two. When we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, it doesn't only mean that there is one and not two of them. It's over there, it's referring to the shlitas yichud of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the control that he has over all the bria. That's the context when we say Hashem Echad, that there's anagas ha-mishpat, there's anagas ha-yichud, as we'll talk about hopefully in future times. That's a different terminology of the word yichud. Here he's going to use the word yichud in a simplest sense of one, not two. Perish, she'yev she'yimotzi mitzuyim rabim she'mitzuyasim muchach mi'atzmo. It's impossible that there are any other creatures that have their existence that are mukhrach, that must exist. There's only one that could be. And if there are other ones, if there is anything else that is because a Kodesh Baruch Hu created it with his will, and therefore any other being is entirely dependent upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence because he created it. And it cannot exist on its own. Nimsa. Now he concludes. He's a very good writer. He's a very good explainer. He explained things beautifully. And now he's going to come as a summary after he's finished it. Nimsa comes out. Klal hayedios hasharshios ha'ele sheish. There are six fundamentals you need to know about the mitzvahs of Hashem. Vehein. Amitas mitzvus Baruch Shemo, that's the Aleph, what we spoke. The existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is a Matsui, Rishon, Kadmon, Venitzchi, Mamtzi, Motzi or Mamtzi, Himtzi, Vimamtzi, everything. That's Aleph. Shlemuso, complete, and which means Bishlila, we know that he has no Chisaron. Hechrech Himatzo, it must exist. Hayosu bilti nitle bezulaso, and he is totally independent, and there is nothing that else is that he's interrelated with and dependent upon. Pshituso, the simplicity, the oneness. V'yichudo, and there aren't two. Those are the parameters of the things that we know bishlila about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't understand it, but we know that he cannot have things that are outside of that. And that is the opening a perek of the Ramchal. Another question which is worthwhile to ponder, and this is why, there's all of these elements of that we're describing in Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? I've tried to explain to you, if you don't understand God like that, you're mamish, really being Ovid Avodah Zarah in a sense. You're worshiping yourself. You're worshiping some other force, some other being that's down here in this world. Some understanding of what a Kodesh Baruch Hu is to something that you see here in this world. And at the end of the day, you're going to easily turn to that and see these as forces and powers that are there for you. You don't see it as his will. But another aspect of it, another level is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that he has the complete koyach over everything, that he is the mamtzi, I always have to emphasize the mamtzi, that carries with it, and that this will explain as time goes on better and better, but all of these yesodos will help us realize that there must be a ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is it that when we describe God, there cannot be any other force? Why can there not be anything else that stand in kaviyachol? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu create the world like that? These are things which he's going to say we know by Kabbalah. We're going to see next week. We're going to go back over this. We know by Kabbalah, and we also know it from the world around us. Okay, that's how we know it. But what we need to know that there can be no other force whatsoever in the world. Why is it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create his metzias, klapei us, what we see as being totally one, without having anything else? Once you have another koyach there, another thing there's no yichud, that there could be another koyach, there could be some other force that's pshat, like in Mitzrayim, l'mashal, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu first revealed to Mitzrayim and to Mitzriim and to the Yidden, Havaya, the Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Metzius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as the greatest power that can overcome everything, right? It was Shakai, there was Elohim, these are unbelievable powers, and came along Moshe Rabbeinu with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidance to teach the Yidden and the Goyim that in the powers of the world that are here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only just the strongest of all the gods, but there are no other gods, and everything is under his shlito. There cannot be any other gods. That was because once you have that idea, then you know that there has to be a rutzon. In order for there to be a will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to have that control in order for us to be margish that there's a ratzon. This inyan of ratzon Hashem, that is the havaya, that is the emuna, that is the way of life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has set down for this world that we want to connect ourselves to. We'll be monitoring more. I'm giving you just the, like he says, the nusach, the words. As time goes on, you'll pick up hopefully the ruach hadvarim. You'll sink into your minds and in your hearts, like we spoke about. The Ramchal says it in a number of places. Everything he's trying to do is to make it v'yodata hayom v'ashevos elavecha. There's yedia, and it's supposed to come to a certain point where it sits in your heart. V'ashevos elavecha. And you understand it, and you feel it, and you believe it, and you rely on it, and you're comforted by it, and you know that you're in a good place, and you know it's taking you to a good place, and then you want to be mitzaref all of your mice into that. That is the amuna and the avoda that we're going to be learning about. Any questions? You can learn a halacha sefer of you can put the pot on this thing and you can do this. You can learn all the pratim of the halacha, and then you're going to have a case that was not told you in that particular prat, and you don't understand the system. You just don't know it. If you don't know the system, you're going to come up with a new prat that you weren't told about, and you're not going to know what to do, and you'll think it's not included. It says the Ramchal, whenever you're learning, he says, make sure you understand the system, you understand the principle. Once you understand the yesod, then you don't need to learn the pratim. It's too many pratim to ever learn anyway. You have to understand the principle. And that is, in my opinion, the best way to teach. A lot of times, you want to be makif in a shir, you want to give over, a lot of pratim, a lot of details. I don't mind leaving out some of the details. As long as I'm able to give over the yesod, the principle, that's what the yeshivas, the Rebbe tries to give the understanding of it. Once you understand the yesod ha-dover, the principle, then every when you come across a situation, you know the principle, you know how to apply it. He says the same way in understanding emunah, understanding Yiddishkeit. So far, we haven't really seen that, but as we go through the sefer, he'll tell you this is the klal, and these are the pratim. And he says here, and he'll just give you what the pratim are. He'll break it down for you, but he wants you to understand the klal, and then you can live life and you understand the klal. This parak.
Where did the Rambam get it from?
Okay.
Well, the Gemaras and all the other shitzes in the Rishonim. And the Nafka means if you are off on this, in Halacha, the Nafka means like Sulim and things like that.
It's a very, very, very good question. And as a matter of fact, there's machloiksim on it. If you look in the Frankel Rambam, when he comes to these prakim about Rambam's avoda, he explains emunos, okay, and they try to find a makor for everything. The Kesef Mishnah or makor, but then Shabbosay Frankel went ahead in the back and says, "Where is this from? Where that from?" You know what he writes for all the things that he gets from these principles that the Ramchal writes here, that he took from the Rambam. What does it say in Shabbosay Frankel? Mor Nevuchim. It's funny. It's a joke. I don't know if they're funny. So Rambam wrote Mor Nevuchim. Where did the Mor Nevuchim get it from? The answer, I think they were embarrassed to say. That's why they didn't want to put it in. The Rambam lived in Egypt. And he spent a lot of his time learning about the oneness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with the Muslims. And they sat down and they were choker and derish and learned so much about Achdus Hashem. And he came up with his whole Sefer Mor Nevuchim basically in conjunction with the Muslim clerics. Because they were gedolim in Achdus Hashem. That's the truth of it, I believe. Okay? And there's no Gemaris about it. There's nothing. The Pele is what's surprising is that the Ramchal, who knew all the Sifrei Kabbalah from the Moshe Kordovero and the Zohar and all the Makoros, and everything that he writes is based upon Chochmas Ho'emes, so to speak, the later revealed truth of what the Metzias HaKadosh Baruch Hu is identical with the Rambam's conclusions with his rational approach. It's a Pele. And that's, to me, one of the biggest riots that it's Emes. Because the Rambam had no connect. He was talking to Arabs who under Vuchaiker and Derish, and he wrote down what he thought was Emes from what they said. And then he's coming really from Kabbalah. But when he comes to write it down, he writes down the words of the Rambam, and it's mamish the same Yesodus word for word. It's a Pele. So, and there were people who came along after the Rambam and said, "No, this is not true. That's not true." They argued with him. It was not at all clear. It was a big machloikas. They burnt his svarim. Okay, and you're right, it's negeh lehalacha, because when we want to know if a person is kosher le'edus or not kosher le'edus, if he's kofer be'ikr or not kofer be'ikr, if there's an isher lashon hara on him or not an isher lashon hara on him, because he's b'chal Yisrael or not, we take a look at these halachas. This is what we look at. Rav Moshe Feinstein takes us to an extreme. Rav Moshe Feinstein says an interesting thing. He's talking about, it comes out, he takes the Rambam so seriously on a number of sources, and he'll say this, and he says, what Reb Chaim said on the Rambam, which not everybody agrees to, but Reb Chaim Soloveitchik said, Nebuch HaNapikaris is Oichet HaNapikaris, which means to say that I don't care if you are a member of a group, that an atheist that you hold b'shita in principle against these principles. He says, if you were not exposed, you don't positively have inculcated these right values, then you're just missing the right tools in your worship of Hashem, and you don't have what it takes to lead the right life of Avodas Hashem. What's the reason? Is it a nebuch? Am I sorry for you? I can feel sorry, but lemaisa, how can you pilot a plane if you don't know how to fly the plane? You say, well, you know what? I'm blind now. It was an accident. All kinds of things. I wasn't able to go to school. You can give excuses, Heinrich Morgan. That makes no difference what your excuses are. How are you leading your life? Do you understand these principles correctly? If you understand why that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a mamtzi and that he created everything and that he has a ratzon and you want to be part of that, then you're leading your life properly. You don't understand it? Everything that you're doing in your life, your shmiras hamitzvos, your Shabbos, your Shema, your boker tov to somebody, your good morning to somebody, everything you do is in the wrong context and it's not avodas Hashem. And Reb Moshe Feinstein actually paskins like that halacha lemaisa, and he's mevatel kiddushin because of that. In a sense, he saved America. Because many people who got married through conservative, when the Edim were conservative or reform people, and he said, I don't care if they're Tinek Shenishba. Doesn't make a difference. He says, Lamais at the end of the day, they think that the Torah could change over time. They have a misunderstanding of this, a misunderstanding of that. I don't care what the reason is. He says it's vatal kedushin. It's not a proper kedushin, and any children from that union are not mamzer if she goes off and has an unkosher get for somebody else or leaves off. And he actually saves Klal Yisrael based upon this principle of the Ramchal and the Rambam. These yesodos he used halacha lemaisa. Where did Rambam get it from? Misichloi. Where did the Ramchal get it from? From Kabbalah. It's all the same. When you read Mor Nevuchim, you'll see that it's all b'chakiras. It's all b'chakiras. There was a Sadya Gaon wrote Emun of Adeus, and the Rambam took it to a new level, and he tries to prove it. The Ramchal says.
Why couldn't he have got these Yesoides from these rivers? And the Chakiras were the things that he worked on. Like anything else, we have Yesoides first. We got Havidon of Ash, we got the Yesoides, and then we got libraries of Rishonim and Achrayim.
That's true. You could
for what you just see now, these six Yesoides.
I'll tell you like this. I think that it's true. You could say, and Ramchal will tell us when. Hopefully, we'll read it tomorrow, next week. He says we got half of it. We got it from the Kabbalah and from Chakira. Okay, we did get Kabbalah, but I think what his question is something else. It says the facts you can get by Kabbalah. Okay, we know it's true. We saw at Har Sinai, Klal Yisrael was Nevi'im, and they stood at Har Sinai, and they understood at that point what Metzias Hashem is, and they transmitted that to the next generation. So we know it. Rambam got the facts from his Rebbe. But what I was emphasizing is, and I think what his question was, how did the Rambam know to make that an Iker Shebi Ikorim, that if you don't have that, you don't have Yiddishkeit? That is the kasha that we're addressing. Who is Emes? And if you don't have it, like the Ravid says, it's true, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a goof. But the Ravid holds, he says, fine, a person made a mistake. It says the Chumash, Etzba Alikim Hi. So your kid says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a finger. Yadcha Chazoka, Zraya Anatuya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's got a very strong hand. He says the Ravid, it's a mistake. Okay, Nishkeferlech. You can still be a kosher yid. Says the Rambam, no. If you think God has a hand, means you are viewing God in your terms of this world. If you see God in terms of this world, then it's just a stronger, mightier force under the sun in this universe. If you're seeing God in such a fashion, then he doesn't necessarily have a ratzon. He's in this world, and he's got his force, he's got his domain. There's something else that's got another domain and another force. And they could battle with each other. And once he's got his will and they got their will, maybe he's the strongest of them, but it doesn't pull everything together to show you that there has to be one ratzon. The Rambam make it Iker Shebi Ikorim. This is where Christianity came and failed religious Yiddish people, and they said, you can have a human being, the Son of God, and this is an expression of the Metzius of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Chazer Treif. More than Chazer Treif, it's Yashka Avodah Zarah. Okay? Chazer Treif is the Malkus. This is talking about Iker Shebi Ikorim. Okay? And that's where they're fundamentally wrong. That's where Yiddishkeit comes and says that you cannot put things... That's the Chiddush of the Rambam that I feel that he made it Ikar Shebi Karm. He starts his Yad HaChazaka of all the halachas, anything you do in life, Tumah, Tara, Kedusha, Avoda, Karbonos, everything starts, Yisoyde Yatoyra, and he starts with a thing. And 100 chapters of you think, this is Ikar Shebi Karm. You don't have this, you have nothing. All your avoidance Hashem, a guy can sit every single day and put on tefillin and be a sofer and say Shema. You miss one mistake in these yisaitis, says the Rambam, it's not Yiddishkeit. You're an oivet avodah zarah. You're an oivet avodah zarah. What made it so terrible? That's the kasha that did.